My name is Bronco Fernandez. My presentation today is titled My Journey, How I Found Success in Health and Business. Friends, in life, I really feel like we share much as human beings. We're not that different. So I believe there's a huge value and huge value in sharing stories, because our stories are very similar. We're not that different. So today I just wanted to share with you really quickly about myself, my history, where I came from, who I am, how I got to where I am today. And my hope is that I can inspire you, I can motivate you to take massive action in your life, to take ownership for your direction. Also, I am not accustomed to presentations with slides since probably the eighth grade. So bear with me. I usually speak without technology like this. I just like to get up and talk. So we're going to go to the next slide. A little bit about myself, my friends. About 4.5 years ago, I founded a company called Secret Table in San Diego with my brother Pablo. This picture is very intentional because he's in it right there. I wouldn't be where I am today without my brother. He is one of my main mentors in life, motivators. I look up to him, and he is one of the persons in my life that really propelled me and motivated me to become an entrepreneur and to step into a world which I am now addicted to. So he's currently in Guatemala. He was supposed to be here today presenting alongside me, but he's out there doing some groundwork for our company, which we're looking to branch out into retreats. I'm also co-owner of Oasis Vegetarian Cafe. That was founded 20 years ago by my parents. I grew up in the Riverside community. Who knows Riverside here? Who goes out there? You guys ever eat at Oasis? Anybody's like, how many people have ate at Oasis here? I'm just curious. Thank you. I love you guys. Just so you... I will give you the address. If anybody wants to go to my cafe, I have coupons today. So you can go get 20% off, half off a smoothie. I'm not trying to plug my cafe too much. But if you want to come, please come. We just recently relaunched our menu. Something that's a huge mission to my family with this cafe is ending the what is called food desert. Someone brought that up today. There's a lot of food deserts out there. And what that really means is there's a lack of healthy food. Because there's really not a lack of food. There's a lot of unhealthy options out there for the mass majority of people, especially in impoverished areas of this world. So my mission and my family's mission with that place is to spread, because what we offer is plant-based organic food that's fast, casual, and accessible to the community. So it's our mission to alleviate our epidemic of unhealthiness in this country and around the world. So a little bit about me. I grew up in that area. Most days you can find me at the cafe doing handstands. I love to be active, a huge part of my life. I enjoy teaching cooking classes, nutritional. I'm a nutritional chef. It's one of the things that I got started in, and it propelled me in the entrepreneur field. The first thing that I was doing was teaching nutritional cooking classes about 4.5 years ago. Something that a lot of people have mentioned, a lot of the speakers prior to me, is the amount of work that it takes to follow your dreams. You know, they're not just handed to you. And one of the things that I kind of wanted to speak about today is, while I was doing that, while I was building these companies, I probably averaged 3 to 4 jobs, serving tables, managing a cooking school, and then building my own business, mostly in the restaurant industry. So a little bit more about myself. This is some photos. I love photos, guys. So this is what I do in San Diego. This is my team. Some of the events that we throw at Secret Table. We host our own like high-end food experiences. Something that really attracted to me. So I grew up in a family of chefs. Who here grew up blessed with family? Mom, grandma could cook really amazing. And yes? Man, I am so blessed. I grew up, grandma, dad, everybody could cook. So I was spoiled. Growing up, I would eat the best food, come home from practice, wherever, best meals. So I really grew to appreciate healthy cuisine. We grew up vegetarian. I was raised that way. Another thing that I thank the Lord for, because I had a really short learning curve in life in a lot of these areas, which people have to kind of learn from scratch, start from zero. And I'm very fortunate to have the family in the background that I did, which was heavy in health. My family, my mom and dad were athletes growing up. They started their own cafe in like Guatemala when they were like 19 and 20, so very entrepreneurial minded. When they moved out to the United States, they had zero. They were immigrants. They washed toilets mainly, started their own janitorial service, eventually saved enough money to buy the snack shop, which was what it was called then in La Sierra, which is now the Oasis. My mom started a real estate company. So I had this really entrepreneurial, I got to watch this growing up and appreciate it. One of the things I noticed about food around the kitchen table at my house was that food was not only nourishing for the body, but it was nourishing for the soul. Who here can agree with me with that? Right? There's something magical about the kitchen table. We lost it. It's okay. Something very magical about the table. There's a community that's built. Oftentimes, what I found, and I'm just speaking from experience and my personal story, you know, what I found in life was that the most meaningful relationships were built, conversations were shared, and thought-provoking moments, etc., were often shared around the table, around good food. Who can agree to this? Who can agree that this is something that's dying in our culture today? Is dying, right? So it is. It's like the dinosaurs. It's almost extinct, right? I think they're extinct, actually, except for a few. So with the Secret Table, my brother and I, we really had a mission to not only glamorize healthy eating, because it's something that the mainstream, you know, you look at Top Chef, you look at these things on TV, what do you see? It's like meat is the thing, right? It's like, yeah, it's the top whatever. And we're like, you know, this isn't real. Or things that are unhealthy are so glamorized. And we wanted to present real food, organic, healthy food sourced at the farms in San Diego to the community and show them that, one, they could impact the community with their dollars at our events. They could taste what real food that's good for your body tastes like, and it's not boring. It's exciting. It's fancy. They can meet people like you're doing today. You know, by coming here today, you're building a community. Hopefully, you're leaving with some new friends, people that you can create things with, that you can support each other with. We wanted to create an environment where people conversated around what's really important in today's life, which is changing the world. You know, if we're, my belief is that if we're not doing something to impact the greater good of this world, we're really not doing much, or we're not living to our full potential. So that's a little bit about myself. That's one of our events, the last large event that we hosted. And what led me to this path? Spoke a little bit about my family. My family definitely, you know, the background that I had definitely instilled a passion for health. I've always been very passionate about the knowledge that I had because I could see it apparently. It wasn't there in everyone, especially my, you know, I saw it early on in my high school friends. They would make fun of me. You're a rabbit eater. You eat rabbit food is what I would get. Who's gotten that as a vegetarian? Ridiculed sometimes, right? And I never took it to offense because I understood from a very young age, my parents were, they did one thing or many things very correctly, which I'm so grateful. One of the things that they did was educate me. They didn't just say, this is what's best. They said, this is what's best and this is why. And it was very powerful because I was able to distinguish and to really be educated for myself and to realize that, you know, the real missing link here is education in my friends. You know, they're not, they didn't have the advantages that I had. They didn't have the parents that had the parents that they had. My grandma was actually a pioneer of her time. She was a vegetarian before it was cool, you know, like back in the 60s and 50s. My family, my background instilled a passion for health, for cuisine. I got to really see it happening in the restaurant. Just because I grew up, by the way, I was not good at cooking. By the, like the age of 18, I could make eggs, cereal. You don't make cereal, you pour it, you know what I mean? I made sandwiches. That was my idea of cooking. Not until I was in college did I really start experimenting, until I was really poor and I had to fend for myself. And I'll get a little bit into where that path led me a little bit, but I had to learn how to fend for myself, and I created this, I developed a passion. I saw how it's really like chemistry, it's like science, it's like making art, cooking when you do it. I don't know who else enjoys cooking like that. When they get in the kitchen, yeah, it's like, wow, like I really enjoy it. It's therapeutic to me. It's my Zen time, you know, I put on classical music, whatever I cook. I don't cook as much for myself anymore because I'm so busy with the restaurant, my business, but it's definitely a passion of mine. So I grew a passion for cuisine, health, entrepreneurship, something that I saw in my family, and a love for God. My love for God is what drove me and gave me the strength, knowledge, clarity, and courage to pursue my dreams. It wasn't until, you know, like many of us in life, we grow up in a family, we're told what to believe. We grow up, you know, we have our parents' beliefs, their habits. We often don't understand why, or they're not real to us or concrete to us. It wasn't until I started reading the Bible for myself and really understanding my faith for myself that I got really passionate about life in general. Up until that point, high school, who remembers high school? Is anyone in high school right now, by the way? Anyone here that young? I don't think so. Any of the helpers? No? Maybe one? High school. It's easy. You know, like, I look back at it now, and I'm like, if only I would have had the fire I had in passion. It's like, everything in that time of life before you're 18 and you're really an adult and you have to start paying for stuff, it's so easy, you know? And so I coasted through life. I didn't really take it that serious. I wasn't very passionate. I didn't really give it my all. It wasn't until 19 years old, I was homeless for 4 days because I was kicked out of college for not taking it serious. And, you know, I had all this background. I'd even gone to a Bible college before then, graduated as an evangelist, and had all this knowledge about God. But it's really easy to digress in life. We'll get into a little bit about building habits in a minute here. It wasn't until that point and I hit rock bottom that I really leaned on God, and I really went to these verses that I'm about to show you here, which I had read before, but I had forgotten. And it wasn't until I was in that situation, you know, 4 days living without a home by a lake, that I was like, okay, there's something that needs to change. So there's three verses that inspired me. They continue to inspire me. And I want to read them to you really quick. The first is Genesis 1:27. And the gist of it is that we are made, what? Does anybody know Genesis 1:27? We are made in the image of God. Wow. You know, when you really sit, think about that, you know. We are made in the image of God. What big shoes, you know, what apple, what tree did we fall from? Amazing, right? I'm going to paraphrase these just for sake of time. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Does anybody know that verse by memory, by any chance? You do. No, he's not raising your hand. Sorry, you're a camera guy. I thought you raised your hand, brother. I'm so sorry. Okay. It essentially says that we, our body, is the temple of God, and he dwells with us. What does that temple look like? Oh, my God, God dwells with me. What kind of place would God want to hang out in or be with or dwell with? What does that look like? And Matthew 25:14-30, which many of us know, and if you're not familiar with the Bible, or I'm not sure about the crowd today, but if you're not familiar with the Bible or these verses, I implore you to check it out afterwards. Have a read. If anything, you know, I find that even for people that aren't, have a biblical background or religious, the Bible has many passages, many verses that are extremely practical for our life today and are amazing tool, can be amazing tools to give you a holistic life. The parable of talents, if you know about it, speaks of a master who gave his servants talents, and he left an expectation. The expectation was for those servants to take those talents and to multiply them. We must multiply our talents in life, my friends. We are all born with a talent, whether it's given from God or given through our parents. We're all born with a talent, and life is a gift. And if we think about that, if we really focus on that, it's like a motivation, you know. It's like, I need to end up, at the end of this life, better than where I started out. Because I owe it, which brings me to this next verse, or not verse, I'm so sorry, this next statement, which I try to live by today, whenever I'm feeling down, because, believe it or not, the world is like an ocean, it tosses you around. You're going to go back sometimes, you're going to go forward, down. But I lean on this thought right here, which my faith instilled in me, my background, which is I have a duty to my family, my friends, myself, to God, to be the best version of myself I can possibly be in this life, period. And I wholeheartedly believe that. And my faith is what propels this. And so, my friends, I'm going to share with you three principles that I live by today that I think are, I like to share my ideas and analogies. I think they paint a beautiful picture. I'm going to use some photos as well. Who knows what this is right here? What kind of car is that? It's a Ferrari, right? It's one of the most amazing vehicles ever made by man. It's like, wow, right? Millions of dollars sometimes. Some of them were millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Imagine yourself owning a Ferrari. How amazing would that be? How would you treat that car? Think about it. You're going to the gas station. You're running low. Are you going to put that 87 gas in it? No, right? That's insane. Why would I do that? You're going to put that super premium, that high octane, that stuff that's really good for this vehicle. That warning label says, you know, when you open up that gasket, it says only the best, because this car is extremely valuable. My friends, you are infinitely more valuable than this car. Infinitely. And you have one body to get you through this life. What are you putting in it? Are you putting the very best into your body? Is your physical, mental, and spiritual health a priority today in your life? You see, there was a question asked today, and it made me think. I wanted to speak, but I was like, I'll have my chance. the question was, I think it was directed toward Lainey, about how do you know, like, I don't have this or I don't have that. How do I make it to this? My friend, the answer in life, or I believe the answer to success in life, is making the things that you want to be successful a priority. Whatever it is that's in your life that's a priority today, you will find a way to be successful in it. And you can analyze your life today and see what the priorities are at, because you're going to be good at them. You're going to have some success in it. Maybe your priority is being a really good friend, and you have tons of friends. You're known for that person, right? So we can analyze. What are you putting in your body? And it's not just food. We're here to speak about food today. I think that it's, you know, I wrestled with this. I was like, what do I present? I give nutritional facts. And it really just was like, it's not my message, you know, because guess what? Today in this world, we're saturated with information. It's out there, guys. You know, if you want to learn how to eat healthy, what is your biggest asset? The internet, right? Something that we didn't have 10 years ago. We did have 10 years ago, like 20 years ago. You know, what did you used to have to do when you wanted to make change, you wanted to learn, you really wanted to progress in life? You had to go where? The library. You had to then hope that the library was really good and had a book that was up to date, and then you had to look for it, check it out, read it. Today you can go on YouTube and watch Lainey's video on how to bake and get a healthy recipe and, you know, start learning in seconds, and start changing your life, start educating. So what are you putting in your mind constantly? What's your priority in life? What are you feeding through your ears? How's your spiritual life? Is it a priority? What do we see here? My second analogy. A boat. What's behind it? Who knows what that's called? A wake. Let's say you're driving a speedboat. You're out in the ocean. Which way are you looking? You're going really fast. You're going forward, right? You're looking forward, hopefully. Why aren't you looking back? Because you might crash, right? I stole this analogy from someone, by the way, guys. This is not like the Ferrari one's mine. This one I stole. guys, in life, my question to you is, are you driving the boat? The boat is your life. In life, you're either proactive or reactive. You're either preparing for success, or you're preparing for failure, which is a famous quote by Benjamin Franklin. If you are constantly in life looking behind at the wake, you're going to get to a point someday in life where you say, how did I get here? You failed to prepare. So I love to start with priorities. Whatever your priorities are in life, I implore you to sit down and say, what's really important for me in life? I believe that the very important things in life should be our pillars. Our health, One of the things that gives me extreme confidence in my life to be an entrepreneur and to take risks, to take chances, is because I'm healthy. I have the confidence, mental confidence, spiritual confidence, physical confidence, that if everything were to go wrong tomorrow, market shifts, restaurant fails, bankruptcy, whatever, doesn't matter. I have my health, my mental health. I can start over tomorrow. The scary thing is if you're not in that place. And this is the reason why most people never try, never start, is they have a fear of failure. And they have a lack of confidence to try. So I really believe that the pillars or the focus points or our priorities should be our health. And whatever your priorities are in life, we should prepare. We should be proactive. What do I mean by this? Who here is their own business owner? A few of us, yes. Do you guys plan out, how far ahead do you have plans for your companies? Like, you know, everybody I believe probably that has a business here has certain benchmarks, goals, right? I see Jared shaking his head in the back. Who here does the same for food? Right? And that's one of the main reasons why most people in America are unhealthy in diet, is they leave it to chance, you know? And this is one of the things that I'm going to get into when I do the meal presentation, is let's say, you know, today's food, we're talking about food, let's say food is your priority. How are you being proactive in it? Are you planning your meals ahead of time? Are you researching what's best, what's a balanced diet? Let me prep some meals on Sunday so I'm eating healthy Monday through Friday. And if you're not, then eating healthy isn't really a priority to you. Maybe it is. But if you're not doing this, you're going to fail at it. What is this? A huge wave. But just by looking at this, I want you guys to just shout some words that come to your mind when you see this. Wet. Power. What else do you see? Movement, right? Thrust. My friends, movement equals life. I'm not trying to say some all-encompassing statement here, but I really believe that this is true. Movement equals life. What is the opposite of the ocean? So in the ocean, what do we see? We observe abundance. We see millions and millions of species that haven't even been discovered yet. What is ever apparent about the ocean? It never stops moving. You know, it's constantly in motion, constantly. If you look at a puddle, it just rained, there's a puddle, maybe a field got a huge puddle in. What happens after a few days of that stagnation? Death, decay. You start to see the plant that might have been there start to decay, mosquitoes start to come up. It's not a pretty thing. You don't want to be anywhere near that, right? It starts to smell. In order for us to grow, in order for us to move forward, we have to keep moving in life. I really believe this. It's often uncomfortable. But if we are relentless, we'll get to the destination we're looking for. I often say, shoot for the stars. If you fail, the worst that happens is you end up on the moon. Don't stop, you know? And so I implore you to continue to move. Life is often going to... Jared, thank you for saying this earlier. I think he said he failed like 10 times and succeeded like 3 times in the last, was that year? Something like that. This is the reality of life. You know, you're going to fail. There's this meme or whatever you want to call it, they go around the internet where it shows like this a chart of the people that failed. One of them was Oprah Winfrey, who got fired at the age of something like 30, whatever, from a news station because they said that she didn't have a good TV personality. Walt Disney was fired from a newspaper agency because they told him that he didn't have enough imagination. Tons of stories like this. What do these people never stop doing? They never stop moving. They never stop trying. They didn't stop picking themselves up when the ocean knocked them down. They didn't make excuses. They didn't buy into stories that weren't true. So my friends, I'm going to end with this. I love this quote. This is a quote that I read recently. I read quotes to my team every week. And this one is just, I love it. It speaks volumes to me, and it's really something I want to live by. and it is by Maya Angelou, and it goes, "My mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive, and to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style." So my friends, my message to you today, my wish is that you go out there and you thrive, not survive.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.